No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And, man, a big show today is headed your way. Welcome aboard because, you know, for the first time ever, I think we're going to do a show that really centers on me. And, you're laughing, Ed. What are you talking about?
First time, don't they all center on you?
Well, I'm not sure if that's the case, Ed. But Keith is here, and he wouldn't agree with that statement, I don't think. Would you, Keith? Okay. All right. So,
excuse me.
All right.
Excuse
maybe me. I misspoke, but it's a little different this time because there's a book that has been released that I happen to be featured in, and it's not a tell-all. Thank God. It is a work of fiction, but a friend of mine who's an author actually used me in his work of fiction for a story that's based in the Florida Keys. And I helped the main character go after the bad guys, who are actually the bad guys are imposters. They're actually pretending to be me doing a radio show about diving, like our sister show, Scuba Radio. Okay, so he used my Scuba Radio background and some of our crew members from that show in this story to help save the day, you know, save the world, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's available now on Amazon, so you can buy it as an ebook or order it in paperback, whatever. Booksbyeric.com is where you could go to find out information about Eric Douglas, the author, or look up the book called Lionfish, which is L-Y-I-N. It's a play on words because there's, you know, we have these invasive species of lionfish that have invaded diving, you know, areas and stuff like that. So there's a little bit of a diving backdrop to it. But he asked me before he started writing this story about what we could incorporate into the, you know, the background character stuff to develop this story appropriately. And I said, well, of course, you know, I'm a diver. He knew about that because of Scuba Radio, and that's where this initially came from. But he also was aware of Just Plane Radio and the fact that I was trying to become a private pilot with you guys and fly a plane. So he said, well, look, you know, what would you like to be? And I'm like, we know you're a diver. Do you want to be a pilot as well? I'm like, hell yeah. So I may not have my official flying certificate
that's
yet.
That's just proof that it's fiction? Is that you're a pilot in it?
Well, maybe so. I mean, I do take out a bad guy with a stepping sidekick using my Taekwondo skills as a deputy black belt, which is like the Barney Fife for black belts. But regardless, you know, I use these skills, these superpowers to overtake the bad guys. And one of them is my skill of knowing how to fly. I fly my entire team down to the Florida Keys in a Quest Kodiak on floats. My ultimate flying machine, guys.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so now the mission is to obviously make fiction reality. Or, you know, it's in book form now, so we have to kind of make this come to life. You know what I'm saying?
Are you trying to say you want to make a movie of this?
No, I'm saying I want the folks at Quest to give me a friggin' Kodiak for free. I just put them in a
I was
going to
say, get
God
your checkbook sakes. Out, but we know what happens when I say that.
Yeah, he goes after mine.
True. Yeah, that's actually not fiction either.
No.
But and I should have told him about that. He would have incorporated that into the story, I have no doubt. But yeah, I am a private pilot, and I fly my entire crew on a Quest Kodiak down to the Florida Keys and save the day. On floats. Yeah, so it's exactly the type of plane that we saw there at Sun and Fun, and Air Venture for that matter.
Yep.
And now that there's a book out called Lionfish, it talks about this. Maybe, you know, if those folks at Quest, you know, we put them in a book, you think they would just give me a plane so I could make this dream a reality, you think? Finally? Once and for all?
Well,
maybe if they actually realize that you are a pilot.
Do you think it would matter? I mean, here's the thing. If we give a look, I got the book. Oh, yeah, I'm not a, you know, it's a work of fiction. I'm not a pilot yet, but you give me the plane and I'll learn how to fly it. Simple as that. If they give me the plane, that would be the incentive I finally need to get my private pilot certificate. Don't you think? That would be the best kind of incentive and, you know, just kind of nudge that I probably need to get off the, you know, off my ass here and learn how to fly finally.
Well, have you called them yet?
That's a lot more to it than that.
What do you mean?
Well, you got beat by a girl.
I got beat by a girl? What are you talking about? What
Ariel kind of, beat you.
Oh, Ariel Tweedo from Flying Wild Alaska.
Yeah, your mentor, you're the one that gave you the incentive to fly.
Yes. Well, we saw her at Air Venture, and as I clearly pointed out when we spoke to her, that you did inspire me to do this. I was watching the show, the final season, when you got your private pilot certificate, and I was using that as inspiration to learn how to fly. And lo and behold, what do, Ariel? You take your show off the air. Discovery ends it, and it goes off the air. I lose my inspiration, and there I fall off. I fell off the wagon, and I lost it. You know, I what are you going to do? I mean, other than blame people like her. You know, she was an easy scapegoat in that regard. Oh, hell no. No, you can come up with way better excuses than that. Like lack of an airplane.
That would be un-American.
To accept responsibility.
To accept responsibility, yes.
Well, okay. So I'll blame Ariel. I'll blame the fact that Quest has not given me an airplane yet. But now that it's in book form, maybe that'll
Have
be.
Have you called him?
No, I'm going to send him a book. Or I'm going to send him a link to buy the book. I mean, it's like $2.99. You don't get that kind of money.
Yeah.
So it's actually a really fun story.
And you know what they'll do? What? They'll send you a link back to their website to buy an airplane.
Yeah. real funny, guys. You could benefit from this. You shouldn't be laughing at this. You should be encouraging me to make this happen.
Oh, we're encouraging.
Wouldn't that be nice to have
a
Kodiak on floats?
Absolutely.
What can we do that?
I will send the link for you.
For the book to go buy this book or the link to buy the airplane?
Yeah.
No, the link both. To buy the book.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk to them. Now we have a reason to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know, but what could we do with a plane like that at the flight school? Couldn't you guys could put that to work in some capacity outside of my training, couldn't you? There'd be other people that'd want to train on a plane like that or no?
That would probably be a little steep for your initial float plane rating.
Yeah.
Because it's a turbine.
Well, I know for me, but I'm saying, like, if you put it in the flight school, could you put it in the flight school group of planes that you guys offer there at Flight Training Professionals for other folks to come rent or something or what? Or would you just manage it?
I would probably just manage it.
Yeah.
When you look into that, the insurance requirements for an open rental would be rather high priced.
Yeah, just because it's such a big airplane. And
yeah, you see a lot of float plane places like Jack Brown. You can go down there and you can rent an airplane, but you're going to take an instructor with you. They won't actually rent you an airplane once you've got your rating.
Right.
And
that's because of the floats or because of the size of the plane or the type
of
plane?
And the insurance companies, you know, what they want to charge for an open rental operation that has floats. And they'll actually tell you. You have a better chance of getting it done on straight floats versus the amphib floats because there's less of a chance of landing in the water with the wheels down or on the land with the wheels up.
All right. Okay. Explain once again. Amphib versus float plane is what?
The amphib is got the floats.
Yeah, but it also has wheels so you can land.
It also has wheels so you can land on a runway.
So that's what you'd want.
Yeah, that's what you'd want, but they don't do much of insuring for rental in that.
Just because they're more prone to flipping over in the water or something or what?
Yeah, if you land with the wheels down, they will flip over in the water. You can Google it on YouTube and take a look at it. You see them coming in landing.
So
see
a straight
the
float
down,
plane
and it just flips over.
Is easier to insure, at least in the insurance company's mind, because of that particular feature.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of blows. Because I would like wheels on it, too. I'd like more areas to land as opposed to less. You see what I'm saying?
I understand.
I like the idea of being able to land on the water.
Yep.
But I want the wheels on there, too. But you're saying that's going to be more expensive to go that route, just from an insurance standpoint.
Yep. And the floats themselves.
Well, so if we take the floats out of the equation, does that make things much easier to manage in that regard?
Yeah.
Decisions. They got a little pop-on swimmies that I can put on when I just want to use
water
the floats.
Wings. They have those on helicopters.
They do have them on helicopters, yeah. But not on...
They're around
they
the...
They slide
the,
on those little
the
noodles.
Runners and...
That's where they came from,
and they flick a switch and they blow up and you land on the water.
Very nice. Okay, well, that's one idea. Maybe we got to get a helicopter as well as a Quest Kodiak. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Attention pilots, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device every pilot needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/plane to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You were born to fly.
Hi, my name's Ariel Tweedo. You may remember me from Flying Wild Alaska on the Discovery Channel. You are listening to Just Plain Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly.
And how do you keep your feet on the ground when you know?
So what the hell are you waiting on?
Yeah.
What's so damn funny? Ariel, it's your fault. I'm blaming you. You're the reason why I have not got my flight certificate. And that's not a laughing matter.
I think she just called you out there, Greg.
Yeah. These Eskimo kids. What are you going to do with them? Anyway, this is Just Plain Radio. I am Greg, a co-pilot, along with Captain Keith and Captain Ed. Rounding out your crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. And before we get to some of the latest stories in particular, I did want to throw something out there. And this is going to be something that pisses off Ed in particular, because I know he doesn't like this show. Airplane Repo.
Oh, God.
I don't know. Keith, do you like the show or no? You're not a fan either. Both you guys don't like Airplane Repo.
No.
I don't get as upset with it as Ed does, though.
You just kind of keep it to yourself, which is kind of surprising, actually, when I say that out loud. You're not one to
You're not one to keep things in there, Keith. Yeah.
But yeah, you're not as vocal about it as Ed is. Yeah, I know you guys aren't fans.
Well,
because
see, I have to give Ed something to be very vocal about. And since, you know, I'm more, you know, you guys get me going on the politics side of it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let him take this one.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll do my best and see if I can make a, you know, blood vessel pop out of his forehead. All right. So Airplane Repo, I literally watched like 6 episodes this week. And caught up on my DVR. I was bored. What are you going to do?
But binge watched.
I did. And I got to tell you, what you've said in the past, Ed, is you don't like it because it's so much made up. It's not real, even though they portray it as kind of a reality TV show kind of thing. And they do say at the beginning that a lot of this stuff has been reenacted and blah, blah, blah. But it's very, very short. And if you didn't catch it, you'd think most of this stuff was free, was real if you weren't paying attention.
If it was real, it would be called a documentary.
True. And I agree. However, what I do dig about that show is I learn about other airplanes. Now, they're stealing them. They're stealing them back from some deadbeat debtor, that has gotten in over his head. But one of the guys was talking about, we're talking about the Quest Kodiak. He has a 206 on floats.
Yeah.
And I forget which guy it is. He actually is from Central Florida, the dude. He has kind of long hair, kind of.
Was that Mike Kennedy?
Yes, I believe it is. And they showed his plane. He actually sold it, and then the guy didn't pay him for it, so he went and reproed it.
Repoed.
Yeah, repoed it back from the guy he sold it to, which was kind of like, well, that seems a little strange. But regardless.
Yeah.
It showcased his plane, and he's like, I felt bad as soon as I let my little baby go. And, he was talking about how this was such a great plane for him. So 206, not as big as a Quest Kodiak by far, right? Much smaller.
Yeah.
And that might be an option because that looked pretty nice, too.
Oh, yeah.
Does that have, it has pretty good carrying capacity, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is with the floats on it, but the straight 206 that we had, great hauler.
Yeah.
Great hauler.
But that is an it's an older airplane.
No, they still make them today.
They still make new 206.
I know for a fact there's still 10 left for this year.
Really?
If you want one, we can take it out to Whip Air in Leesburg. They'll put it on floats for you.
So,
it'll set you back maybe $750,000, but that's okay.
Okay, so you have a 206, which is kind of like a van in the sky.
Yeah.
And
it
then
was
you
called
have,
the stationaire, kind of like the station wagon.
Okay, so you got the station wagon, and then you got the van, which would be the Grand Caravan in the Cessna world.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 206 is the one level below a Grand Caravan? Or is there
There's quite a bit of size difference down between the Caravan and the Grand Caravan, especially, and the 206.
Okay.
A lot of size difference.
Well, yeah, I mean, because you can get like 10 seats in a Grand Caravan something like that. Well, it's like a Quest Kodiak.
Whereas the Quest Kodiak is actually kind of in between the two.
Is it? It's not quite as big as a Grand Caravan.
Not as big as a Grand Caravan and not as small as a 206.
Hmm. Well, see, for my needs, I want to get 4 people in there with dive gear. And so a 206 might not be big enough for that, because you're talking about at least 100 pounds each for dive gear. So 800 pounds.
Yeah, probably not going to work.
Yeah.
No.
1,200 pounds.
No.
Yeah.
No.
With fuel, not going to do it in a 206. So I have to go to the Kodiak.
Yeah.
Or a Grand Caravan and really take the jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, Kodiak and Grand Caravan, cost-wise, Kodiak is much less, isn't it? About a half mil less, maybe, from what we saw on there.
You remember that,
Keith? We were at AirVenture looking at that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a good chunk of change less.
Yes. And so we're only talking like a half a mil. That's chump change to Keith. So, and his credit card goes up that high, I believe, right?
It might.
Yeah, okay. Well, see, It
depends on who it's for, though.
But I've learned all this stuff watching Airplane Repo. So isn't that a good thing? I mean, I'm learning, because they do a little segment about the planes they're going to repossess.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it.
And they do the little breakdown of this was what it does. This is its carrying capacity. This is its value. And I'm kind of like, hey, that's kind of interesting information. And you pick up, and then all the other stuff, you can take it for what it's worth. It's somewhat entertaining and just a fun little storytelling standpoint. But I actually like the plane information I pick up about all these different
things.
That's
good. That's so good.
Does that help? Or do you still hate the show?
No, I still don't like the show.
Because your thing is that you think it sets a bad example for flying or for pilots in general, because a lot of these times showcase the pilots like flying by the seat of their pants type of stuff.
Yeah,
right?
And you know, one of them always has an emergency. You know, the other one's always got to, you know, have his tools and fix something, and, you know.
Right.
That it does, it gives a negative connotation of a lot of the stuff that we do, and, you know, it's hard enough in our industry to get good press.
Right.
And because the media, as we've talked about, picks up on every little thing that goes wrong, not the hundreds of thousands of things that go right. And so to have somebody else out there painting a negative light like that.
Or showcasing the fact of all these incidents that are really extremely rare. But they happen to happen, well, like I said, they happen in every episode.
Exactly.
There's always some emergency, like the plane's not going to work or it's going to have make an emergency landing. And
But then it's fine. I can make it to this airport. I'm good now.
Yeah. But makes for great TV.
Makes for TV.
I understand. But I don't know. I see a little bit of both sides of this, though. Because I do. My background of flying now, or the limited education I find it
obviously becoming more popular, because I was in giving an exam the other day, and the student was, those things that they always got to get on an airplane repo or the airplane won't be worth anything. We were talking about aircraft maintenance records. I told him at that point that he had failed the test because he mentioned airplane repo.
Now you know what not to do with Captain Ed. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so bad press in the mainstream media, that's something that you kind of get used to when you're a pilot, unfortunately, because the only time they seem to cover things are when things go bad, like in this air show in the UK last week. So, that's extremely rare for air show incidents when you look at the big scheme of things. But, man, every time one happens, it's like massive coverage.
Well, you think about it. Everybody's there taking pictures.
Yeah.
Running video. Mm-hmm. Media's there covering it. So it's going to make the news, and it's going to make the news everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, that does, unless there's some other big thing going on in the news cycle.
Right. And you know, the thing is, when you look at the stats and you realize that it is extremely rare, but it starts to get infuriating when you're a pilot and you hear an anchor on a major news channel say, like, well, I can't believe they did this air show and didn't close down the highway. I was like, I saw a guy say that. I was really? Like, are you kidding me? Well, what good of that? And what good would have that done? I mean, 2020 hindsight on that particular incident, sure. Yeah. But, closing down a road, first of all, you have no idea if anything were to go wrong, where it's going to happen.
No.
And I don't know.
It's kind of getting to the point where, why do we even live anymore? You know, if you can't do anything, you could say, yeah, sure, why don't we just not leave our homes anymore? Because, you know, you could walk outside, you could get struck by lightning, your car could run off the road and hit you. You know, you come up with all these different things. But, you know, if you stay in the house, you just die anyway because, you know, you're not using your muscles or anything like that, you know. And, of course, the house could catch fire and you could have all those other things that happen. So, well, what's the point of living? You know, at some point you got to just give it up and just say, listen, you know, there are some risks in life and, you know, let it go.
Yeah. Okay, wait. He's not saying let it go, like end it all. He's encouraging you.
Encourage you to go out and live life.
Okay. Live life.
I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, so live your life.
Geez.
That's right.
I thought I was going to have to
forget
call
the airplane repo. Go have fun.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are navigating the latest aviation news and information, talking a little bit about this air show incident in the UK where the vintage aircraft crashed into a local highway, I guess. It was pretty horrific when you look at the video. But, you know, things happen, you know, and when you look at the big scheme of things, it's so rare for those type of incidents to go down, that you need to put it in perspective. But, I mean, that doesn't lessen the tragedy. It was, for sure, a tragedy any way you look at it. But, once again, you do need to put it in perspective. So it doesn't really, you don't want it to, like, shut down air shows.
No. Well, and of course.
Or highways.
Or highways. Yeah. That's what you did. Well, the follow-up story to that is the CAA, which is the UK version of the FAA,
right?
You know, in typical government action reaction mode, have limited high energy maneuvers for vintage aircraft. So in the UK, they can't do aerobatics in the air show in these airplanes anymore.
Yeah,
immediately just cut off and are limited to flybys only. And you know, you saw Air Adventure, and they have an amazing warbird show. And, you know, there's a lot of them are just flying by. They're doing the pyrotechnics. But there are a couple routines out there. I can think of the Flying Horseman as one of them, that they're flying a formation of four Mustangs. And it's an amazing, amazing routine. And, you know, I always loved going to Oshkosh to see the Warbird show because there were people like Howard Perdue and Joe Frasca and these guys, the Horsemen. And they would take World War II fighters and do vertical eights and all this stuff that you would normally see a Pitts doing or a Extra doing. And, you know, a lot of the people at the air show didn't, you know, look up like, eh, whatever. You know, I'm like, do you understand what they're doing with this airplane? This airplane was not designed to do that, but they're doing it anyhow.
Right.
You know, and, you know, talking about energy management, Bob Hoover and flying his routines, that's a Shrike Commander. That's a piston twin. And it's one of the most amazing air shows around, you know, to take that away from people. You know, I think is just a shame because, as Keith said, we got to live. We got to enjoy life. That's part of what gets people excited about aviation, and we need more people in aviation. You hear it week after week after week in the aviation media, the pilot shortages. I mean, Keith can speak to that, and that it's really coming. It's really here, and we need to get people excited about aviation.
And the air shows are a big part of that.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's the first place they go because it's advertised in the media, and they say, hey, Dad, take me to an air show. And that's how a lot of people get interested and introduced into aviation.
Well, there you go. And, you know, I guess this knee-jerk reaction the UK FAA made. At this point, there's no way they really even know what happened, I'm guessing.
No.
You know, it wasn't like, it wasn't necessarily a mechanical failure or it could have been pilot error, could have been so many
number
of things.
The pilot did survive, so he's in critical condition.
But did he?
But yeah, he was pulled out of the airplane.
Okay.
That it impacted in low enough an angle that the passersby pulled him out of the airplane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, time will tell.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is the key to these things is to put them into perspective and learn from them, of course, but not make, you know, crazy decisions or, and like I said.
I would understand if it was, okay, we're going to have a safety stand down for the next 30 days until we understand this accident better. We're not going to be doing any of these or 60 days or 90 days or 6 months or whatever, not just a ban.
Well, you mean on that specifically, specifically applied to that particular aircraft?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah. You know, that is a good safety culture. But just a moratorium, blanket, you can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I would think that's
ridiculous. So what's the point of going to an air show over there anymore if all they're going to do is have airplanes fly past you?
Right. That'd be kind of boring. And kind of annoying, too, because that's just the loud part.
As we see in Reno, which is all they did in Reno, that didn't turn out too well when they had a mechanical failure either.
Well, okay. Yeah, you know, it doesn't necessarily make a difference.
And after that, there was a lot of talk about shutting that air race down. Thank goodness that they didn't, because it is an amazing thing that I have yet to see, and I want to go see it.
Okay, so that's on your list, huh?
That's on the list, coming up in September.
All right. Well, there you go. So there's our 2 cents. Mm-hmm. You know, on that type of stuff, and once again, in the big scheme of things, the chances of experiencing something like that are really, really low.
Yeah,
and thank God for that.
Yeah,
but just goes to show how safe they really are when you think about how many millions and millions of people have witnessed these air shows around the world, and you just got to put these kind of incidents and accidents in perspective.
Yeah.
So there you go. Now, one of the things that we've talked about on the show many times before are airspace restrictions when the president comes to town.
Now, yes.
We are in Orlando, Florida.
But our friends in Alaska are not happy.
Yes. And evidently, Mr. Obama is planning a trip up north to Alaska. And they are freaking out because it's hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
Did you
Big
see
business.
This?
Yes, I did.
But evidently, they've made enough noise where they're taking it into consideration.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, yeah. I just heard that the TFR will be 3 days long in Anchorage, which is right next to, was it Lake Hood, which is like the busiest seaplane base in the world. Hmm. And this is where hunters would be departing for backcountry.
Right. It's like prime hunting season. You probably know this because, Keith, you're a big hunter. Am I right? Have you been up to that part of the world to hunt yet or no?
I have not been up to that part of the world to hunt, although I would love to. But
I just love to go up to that part of the world and fly.
Do you think President Obama is actually listening a little bit more because they are hunters and they are armed?
Well, I'm not sure if they're listening because they're hunters and armed more than the fact that, you know, most of Alaska, things move by either water or by air.
Yeah.
And so if you shut down, you know, Anchorage for 3 days, I mean, there's a whole. I mean, it's not just Anchorage you're shutting down.
You're shutting down a state.
Mm-hmm.
And so that may be what they're getting to, because you know, this administration, they could care less about the hunters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's been proven over and over again, as you know, they try and take our guns away. But you know, I think that maybe, just maybe, they might be getting the picture that you know, you can't go to Alaska and shut down the whole state for 3 days.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
The economic impact
is huge.
It's amazing.
It's a life and death situation up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody gets hurt, you know, out in the sticks someplace, their only way of getting someplace is by air.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing can move by air, that person dies. And so, you know, that's not an option. They have no other options in there. In their state.
Wait,
you know,
in there like trains or something?
Don't they have
trains?
No.
Nothing in that part.
Did you not actually watch the show Flying Wild Alaska?
Are they going to the same place? Is it the president?
Well, that's actually further out. They often flew down into Anchorage.
Right.
But, I mean, what they did was they flew out to these villages, and they were the only supply chain that these places would get. Mail, packages, food, all
medicine.
The supplies, medicine. That's the way the people got to and from the villages. There's not that many roads out there, and the distances are so great you need an airplane to cover them.
I doubt that the president and his family have watched that show, because if they did, they'd go, we do not want to go there. It's cold. It's blowing constantly. There's polar bears and God knows what else. But I don't know. I mean, you know, we've talked about it before, just here in Orlando, when the president comes down and shuts down and, you know, the entire area for, you know, hours or a day at a time.
Oh, yeah.
And the, and, you know, economic impact just locally for you guys running a flight school is huge.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's not as, is not as similar as Alaska, like you said, because it shuts down the whole state. And maybe that is the element. But I don't know. I found it interesting to hear this seem to be the first time I've actually heard pushback from the community, and where the government says, okay, yeah, we're trying to take this into consideration and see if we can move the schedule around a little bit to keep it a little more flexible.
Yeah.
Which I've never heard that before. Maybe yeah. They have been more sensitive. But before, when you guys have told me this is going down in Orlando, I was like, no one knew about it till the day before, because they don't want the president's schedule out there.
Yeah, you okay. Find out about it.
Something else to complain about. And complaining is compelling, at least on Just Plain Radio this week.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Flying is the worst one because people come back from flights and they tell you their story. And it's like a horror story. They act like their flight was like a cattle car in the 40s in Germany. That's yeah. How bad they make it sound.
Right.
They're like, it was the worst day of my life. First of all, we didn't board for 20 minutes. And then we get on the plane and they made us sit there on the runway for 40 minutes. Oh, really? What happened next? Did you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight, you non-contributing zero? That you got to fly? You're flying! It's amazing!
Is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And we're also joined via the phone right now, live from Alaska, we have Tom Haynes from the AOPA. Tom, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Greg, Ed and Keith, I'm doing great, coming from the 49th state and having some wonderful experiences up here, taking advantage of general aviation airplanes.
Yeah, are you doing this before the president gets in town? Is that what the plan was, or what?
Yeah, definitely got to get all this done before the president comes to town. He's among the local operators up here who have a really short season. He's not winning any friends with the big TFR that they have put in place.
Yeah, now we'll get back to that in just a bit, but let's back up because you've been very, very busy. Here you are in Alaska today, but last weekend you're at the AOPA fly-in in Minneapolis. How did that go? Let's talk about that.
Oh, that was great. We really had a tremendous turnout for the fly-in, which was in Anoka Airport, in Plain County Airport, just north of Minneapolis, and had like 2,600 people, and 900 cars showed up, and it was on a day when the weather had been questionable all week. They'd been saying Saturday wasn't going to be a great day, and it turned out the weather all held off until after the show was over and everybody got out, and then it let loose, but that was okay.
Yeah.
And it was a really good event. We had a Friday night event at Surfside, which is the second busiest seaplane base, second only to Lake Hood here in Alaska. And we had a big party out there with a band and barbecue and some fire pits going, and just a really beautiful evening out by the lake with seaplanes around, and it was really a lot of fun. People seemed to really enjoy it.
Well, that sounds great. So, being that you were at the second biggest one, you had to go to the first one and went straight to Alaska, or what? What happened?
Yeah, pretty much. Left from Minneapolis on Sunday and came up to Alaska. And I've been up here this week working on a couple of stories, and among the things, talking to some pilots up here about what's going on. And of course, they all brought up the TFR that's going to come up when the president visits here in a few days.
Yeah. So is the overall consensus is they're not fans. And, the press coverage that I've been seeing about this is that they actually are looking at trying to accommodate the hunting season and the folks there locally a little bit more than they normally do.
What I understand.
Yeah. I mean,
I hear that there's some negotiations going on. They're going to try to change the TFR to allow some operations to continue, because it's particularly frustrating because their season is so short up here and it's coming to an end now. I mean, here we are in August, which, down in Maryland or certainly in Florida for you guys, we still think it's summertime, but up here there's fall colors. We've had beautiful flying out here the last few days, but there's lots of colors in the trees, and so it's fall here, and their season's winding up and very busy with hunting season and all the things they need to get done before winter sets in, which will happen here really quick.
Yeah.
And shut down for days while the president's in town is really devastating for them, so they need to come up with a solution that allows these pilots out of Lake Hood, which is, like I said, the busiest seaplane in the United States, probably the world.
Well, you probably know this
solution to get them flying
better than I do, Tom, but I have never heard of, the Secret Service or the government kind of looking at that and taking those elements into consideration as much. Is it just because they're armed and these are hunters up there? or do you think it's...
That may have something to do with it, but there is more. Actually, the Secret Service has worked with local communities and modified TFRs and modified some operations in a few other places. When it's really an important need like this one. And so hopefully we'll make some good progress here in the next few days and we'll get some changes.
Well, they've kept it secret, as they're supposed to, I guess, which makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just said, this is the first time I've ever actually seen it out in public where they were, talking about this and saying, hey, yeah, we're trying to see if we can accommodate some special circumstances or take into those elements to play not to, hurt the local economy so much. I've never seen that anywhere else.
Yeah.
And when it comes
it's not only that, though, Greg, because it's not just the local economy that would be affected, but, unlike our lives here in the lower 48, those people have to hunt in order to survive. And, so they have a very short time frame to get their hunting done and get it in before the winter comes, like Tom said, and get back to their house.
Well,
and
understandable.
So,
yeah, I get it. But what are you doing there, Tom? You're doing some flight training or just doing some research and gallivanting around in a float plane or what?
Well, I prefer to call it research. Okay?
Yes.
some pilots here in a place called Lake Louise, which is about 3.5-hour drive northeast of Anchorage and south of Fairbanks away. Estuaries, north of Valdez, and it's sort of in the center of it's a large lake, kind of in the middle of a region that is surrounded by four mountain ranges, and makes for some great flying up here. And we've just had really wonderful weather this week too, which really helps. But
cool.
A bunch of pilots have been helping us. They brought some airplanes out. We've had two 180s and a Cessna 175 at our disposal, and we've been out doing photo shoots, video, and still photography, landing in some really remote strips and capturing photography and video for that, and a story in the magazine and on our video channels about what it's like to fly in Alaska and how it is that you could use a general aviation airplane to get to some of these remote national parks and other places that roads don't even go there in some cases. And so GA is the only way to see and experience these locations. And so we're going to share what it's like and how it is that the average general aviation pilot can come up here and get access to airplanes and take advantage of what there is to see and do.
Very nice. I want to get in on some of that research.
Yeah, I do too.
Tom, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. We'll let you get back to your fun and flying there in Alaska and see you on AOPA.
Research, guys. Come on, it's research.
Research, research.
Yes. And we'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
And I'll second that.
Sounds good.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.